You are tuned in to The Watchman, Cedric Muhammad, on the Black Coffee Channel.
I grew up on the crime side, the New York Times side. Staying alive was no job, had second hands. Moms bounced on old man, so then we moved to Shaolin land. A young youth, you're rocking the gold tooth. Low goose, only way I begin to G-York was drug loot. And let's start it like this, son. Rolling with this one and that one, pulling out gats for fun. But it was just a dream for the teen who was a fiend. Started smoking wools at 16 and running up in gates and doing hits for high stakes, making my way off fire escapes. No question I was speed for cracks and weed. The combination made my eyes bleed. No question I would flow off and try to get the dough off, sticking up right boys on ball courts. My life got no better, same damn low sweater. Times is rough and tough like leather. Figured out I went the wrong route, so I got with a sick tight click and went all out, catching keys from cross C's, rolling in MPVs every week. We made 40 G's. Yo, brothers, respect mine. I hang of the tech now. Bow, move from the gate now.
Stay tuned to the Black Coffee Channel, home of the Cedric Muhammad and Black Coffee Radio program. Stay tuned to the Black Coffee Channel, home of the Cedric Muhammad and Black Coffee Radio program.
It's been 22 long, hard years. I'm still struggling. Survival got me bugging, but I'm alive on arrival. I peep at the shape of the streets to stay awake to the ways of the world deep. A man with a dream, with plans to make cream, which fail. I went to jail at the age of 15, a young buck selling drugs and such, who never had much, trying to get a clutch on what I could not touch. The court played me short, now I face incarceration. Pacing, no one upstates my destination. Handcuffed in back of a bus, 40 of us. Life as a shorty shouldn't be so rough. But as the world turned, I learned life was hell. Living in the world no different from a cell. Every day I skate from Jake's, giving chase, selling bass, smoking bones in the staircase. Though I don't know why I chose to smoke cess, I guess that's the time when I'm not depressed. But I'm still depressed, and I ask, what's it worth? Ready to give up, so I seek the old earth, who explain working hard may help you maintain, to learn to overcome the heartaches and pain. You got stick up kids, corrupt cops, and crack rocks and stray shots, all in a block that stays hot. Leave it up to me while I be living proof to kick the truth to the young black youth. But shorty's running wild, smoking cess, drinking beer, and ain't trying to hear what I'm kicking in his ear. Neglect it for now, but yo, it got to be accepted. The what? The light is hectic.
There come times when it is possible to forecast the results of a contest, of a battle, of a lawsuit, or of a struggle long before the final event has taken place. And so far as our struggle for civil rights is concerned, I'm not worried about that now. The struggle for civil rights in America is won. What I am more concerned about is the fact that the Negro shall not be content simply with demanding an equal share in the existing system. It seems to me that his fundamental responsibility and his historical challenge is to use his weight, since he has less to lose in the present system than anybody else or any other group, to make sure that the system which shall survive in the United States of America, I don't care what system you call it, shall be a system which guarantees justice and freedom for everyone. The way I usually put it is, sure, we're being invited now in to take a front seat. But there's no particular honor in being invited to take a front seat at one's own funeral.
If I had me a Mexican flag at around 12:30 a.m. Sunday morning, you know I would have been waving it. July 30th, 2008. I want to welcome you to the hottest show in the diaspora, the Cedric Muhammad and Black Coffee program. I got a question today. Are beauty and fashion the same? I want to hear from men and women out there. Are beauty and fashion the same? The global trade talks have collapsed. I'll tell you why I think that's a good thing. And yeah, ain't nothing about nothing but the Black-Owned Bank Initiative. Let's go.
We'll be right back.
July 30th, 2008. Yes. I got CNBC in front of me. I got the coffee to my right. And I got a 1962 article from Muhammad Speaks in front of me, headlined, "Are Fashion and Beauty the Same?" Yeah, I dig deep in the original man's archives to come up with that topic. Now, some of you had no idea where that came from. Are Fashion and Beauty the Same? April 1962. Muhammad Speaks newspaper. We're going to talk about it. Oh, if I had a Mexican flag, I would have been waving it. I was giving Antonio Margarito a standing ovation while I was laying on the ground watching this fight. I'm going to salute that the original man from Tijuana in a minute. Had a lot of fun yesterday. I was at Sirius Radio, building with Matsumela Montfumo, Taria, super producer, and cut creator and engineer on the board, Caucasian Sensation, chopping it up for 2 hours. Some of you may have heard me on there. Hope you all had a good weekend, restful week. Yeah, I took it there yesterday on the Make It Plain program. Later for nuclear proliferation concerns. Later for the government of India in turmoil. Later for Senator Obama in Europe. We have more serious problems to tend to. McDonald's may get rid of the dollar menu. How's that for breaking news? If you want to fight to maintain the dollar menu. I know some of you all have been living off that thing since inflation kicked in. Glenn from Philly. If you turn on Bloomberg News, you may see her. I have another nomination for a sister who has the look. If you don't know what we're talking about, you can get a late pass to some of the on-demand shows and programs where we talked about the female newscasters who have the look. It's a Latino original sister, Chris Valerio on Bloomberg. Chris Valerio from Bloomberg. I've noticed her for about 3 weeks now. She has the look. Latina, original queen. Always on point with her updates on the financial markets. Chris Valerio. All right. Let me see who's here to greet me at the door. Yes, we officially blasted off in Alaska last week. 5 affiliates in Alaska. Let's see what folks talking about. If this is your first time, you can send your comment through the box at the bottom of my image. Yes, the camera will be coming out soon. Carmen Bidalek from Anchorage, Alaska, checks in, says, "Cedric, hello from Alaska. I greatly enjoy your show, and I look forward to listening to it every week. I praise your work in canvassing topics not necessarily reported in mainstream media. Keep up the amazing work. CB." This is Carmen Bidalek, Anchorage, Alaska. Welcome. Sister Sabrina from Baltimore. She wants to let me know that the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan will be speaking in a few days. I'll promote that. And she says, "Fashion and beauty are somewhat the same. There is no wrong answer here. Each person has his or her own idea of what they feel. Both are seen on the outside. Fashion, style, dress, or the way, manner of self. Beauty comes from the inside to the out. One's mind makes the statement." So she says fashion, style, dress, way, manner is one thing, but beauty comes from the inside out. Okay, Sister Sabrina from Baltimore. She also says, "What is your idea of a healthy relationship?" That sounds like a whole new show topic. My idea of a healthy relationship is one in which both people, both parties, make the other better. So if we are here with a purpose that we discover or grow into or assign to ourselves accurately, then you want a partner or a companion who can help you to grow into your own divinity as you serve the same purpose in them and create life that does the same. So I would say a healthy relationship is one in which both parties make each other better. How you like that? Do I have to play fabulous? Make me better. Shane, I knew it wouldn't be long, brother. Shane from Houston. And he says, Shane from Houston, Ron R. Texas. In case you haven't heard, the Houston Rockets look like they are about to obtain Ron Artest in a trade. So Shane from Houston says, the Houston Rockets will be in it all this year. Get your popcorn ready. Congratulations, Shane. Ron Artest, Tracy McGrady, and Yao Ming is pretty formidable. Eleazar the Great from Brooklyn. He says, hello, Cedric. I hope all is well. The media and others appear to be very attracted to Barack. My only question to you is, do you still think that decrepit McCain will be the next chief or commander in chief? Even though I'm not a big fan of politics, I still want to know. Well, those of you who may have missed this, Eleazar is referring to my devastating prediction that the next POTUS of the United States will be John McCain. And I said it again last night on Sirius Airwaves, and Matsumila Mafumo, Mark Thompson, he almost had the devastated look that Davy D had when I told him that in the exclusive Davy D interview that everyone is raving about. He said that is very disheartening, Cedric. So yes, I'm standing by my prediction. I got more evidence to support my view that John McCain will be your next president. Hour number three, I think I'll get into that. Natasha from Miami, she says, good afternoon, family. I am mentally fatigued and looking forward to a hearty serving of black coffee. Natasha, we have the mental massage ready for you. Check your email, Natasha, as well. I can't say I'm mentally fatigued, but I'm not necessarily in the zone yet. Perhaps by hour number two, the end of hour number one, I will be. Very excited to talk about this Black Bank initiative. Visit blackownedbank.com. Also, I'm a little tired because we pumped out that CMCAP Science of Business e-letter, www.cmcap. Maurice from Philadelphia, he says, peace, said it was good to hear you on Mark Thompson's show on Sirius yesterday. Are you going to touch on the cancellation of the dollar menu? Because I missed it. Yes, sir, I most certainly am. When Maurice from Philly speaks, I answer. Let me see if I have this disheartening story here for you McDonald's lovers. McDonald's could order changes to the dollar menu, July the 24th, Wall Street Journal says McDonald's Corp is considering challenging its popular dollar menu as it tries to offset the higher ingredients it expects for the remainder of the year. McDonald's has been able to shake off a sluggish economy and pressures on consumer spending. But it says higher beef and chicken costs in the U.S. and Europe are pressuring profits at McDonald's company-owned restaurants, and some franchisees say the U.S. dollar menu is drawing too much unprofitable traffic to their locations. That's another way of saying you poor black and Latino people. Too many of y'all running up in that driveway with an order that adds up to $3.28. In a conference call with analyst Ralph Alvarez, the company's president and chief operating officer said McDonald's is conducting consumer research and testing other options with franchisees for the menu. He didn't specify what changes may result. He says the way the dollar menu looks today won't be the way it's going to look next year. Oh, shame on you all pulling out that credit card for a $2.18 order. Eleazar the Enormous from Brooklyn. He says, Cedric, did you hear about Danny Glover? He wanted to create or produce a film about the Great Haitian Revolution, but he's having a hard time collecting funds. From my understanding, both white and black investors won't give him the money because there will not be any white heroes. What can we do so we can help? Danny Glover's plugged in with black money and white money, so I don't know if he really needs our help. But if he was smart, because the world of filmmaking is one where alternative financing is very popular, you know, he could form an LLC or a corporation and sell us shares at a mass level so that we could go out and become investors in that project. Spike Lee may have the blueprint for him. If I'm correct, that movie Get on the Bus was financed by 10 black men. Am I correct? Wasn't it Prince? Was it Michael Jordan? It was Cosby, Oprah. I don't know. It was like 10 wealthy blacks that financed that. Danny Glover's plugged in. He should tap into that. Natasha from Miami says, no, beauty and fashion are not one and the same. Both are similar in that the appreciation of each lies in the eye of the beholder. But beauty is more than superficial traits, while fashion is wholly dependent on the superficial. Ooh, do y'all agree with that? Oh, Cameron, you brave soul. Before I even read what Cameron from Paterson, New Jersey has to say, let me standing ovate him because he gave a prediction for the fight. Cameron says, what up, Sed? You know I had to be here to show my support and to give it to you on your fight prediction. You called it. Even if Cotto had held on to the end, he would have lost on the cards. But without any further delay, Cameron is stand up, man. There was another person who said Miguel Cotto was going to win by decision. I can't remember who it was. Maybe Reggie from Chicago. If I had a Mexican flag, I would have been waving it. Antonio Margarito, this goes out to you, my brother. I watched with admiration as you took punch after punch from the great Miguel Cotto and kept coming. There's only one way to salute a performance like that.
Mexicanos al grito de guerra, el acero apresad y el bridón, y retiembla en sus centros la tierra al sonoro rugir del cañón. Y retiembla en sus centros la tierra al sonoro rugir del cañón. Siño patria, tus sienes de oliva, de la paz el arcángel divino, que en el cielo tu eterno destino nos convoca a lidiar con valor. Para ti las guirnaldas de oliva.
Hold on, I'm standing at attention. If you, please, this is how you salute Antonio Margarito for putting it down so beautifully, the Mexican national anthem.
Un recuerdo para ellos de gloria, un laurel para ti de victoria, un sepulcro para ellos de honor, un sepulcro para ellos de honor. Mexicanos al grito de guerra, el acero aprestad y el bridón, y retiembla en sus centros la tierra al sonoro rugir del cañón. Y retiembla en sus centros la tierra al sonoro rugir del cañón. ¡Viva México, señores!
11th round of a scheduled 12.
Big clean head snapping punches, but never has Margarito been hurt or in trouble in this fight.
And it's Cotto who's bleeding from the nose and the mouth, and who's been retreating throughout the entire fight. These are big mental impressions for judges.
Those little Margarito short shots on the inside now, Emmanuel.
Oh, yeah.
And Cotto goes to a knee, succumbing to the pressure, much the way Zab Tuta succumbed to the pressure against him last year. And that knockdown could ultimately be the difference in the fight. Antonio Margarito has finally gotten his man to bend. Miguel Cotto getting beaten up by a bigger man.
It's over.
He's exhausted, and it's almost over. Accumulated to the point where Cotto has nothing left. There's no point in Kenny Bayless allowing this to proceed.
No, it's over. It's over.
And Evangelista Cotto's going to throw in the towel. And Antonio Margarito has the victory he's been waiting for all his life.
Beautiful. That strip club attending Jim Lampley made another great call. Whew. Beautiful. Beautiful. And this is why some of you are acting like I'm supposed to support Cotto. Absolutely not. I admire Cotto a lot. Let me tell you what I like about Cotto. He's very humble. I've never seen a boxer that humble. And I hope he's all right, and I hope he comes back. But as I speak to you over this hot beat, I just want to tell you, when I saw Antonio Margarito tear up talking about his brother who was murdered, I said I had to support this man. Not only that, he and his wife was waiting on that money to get a big house. Cotto had his money. So I thought that they both have suffered as men, but I just thought that the upward journey, in the Quran we say what, the uphill road of Antonio Margarito was just a little bit steeper, and I was touched by his story. By the way, Margarito was fading. Margarito was fading. His head was getting snapped back like whiplash. So that's how you salute a Mexican general, original man, whether he knows it or not. Okay, let me get back. So Cameron from Patterson, New Jersey, you are a stand-up man. Natasha from Miami says, you should give some notice when you are going to make guest appearances so your listeners can follow you. Don't worry, we try not to stalk too badly. I thought you were going to be listening, Natasha. I know you listen to Make It Plain. Eleazar, the Levite priest from Brooklyn, East New York. He says, from my understanding, beauty is a physical attractiveness or an eye-catching, useful, or satisfying feature, and fashion as a style in clothing, hair, and appearance generally. Rod Guignard, he says, good morning, young Reverend Cedric, letting me know. See, the good morning is letting me know that, hey, you got listeners on the West Coast, baby. What up, Rod? Peace, my brother. Says, good morning, young Reverend Cedric. Now that I realize you're including non-blacks in the look, can I suggest Rachel Maddow of MSNBC? Oh, hold on. Pump the brakes. Pump the brakes, Rod. Take a look at the sister. She is an original queen, Chris Valerio. I hope I do not have to go into the look that is created when the conquistadors mixed with the indigenous nations as well as the black man. That's what you get when you see Chris Valerio. And you cannot suggest Rachel Maddow of MSNBC. Glenn from Philly says, peace said, I'm doing research on Miss Valerio as we speak. Also, I celebrated the hottest show in the diaspora by buying options on a December coffee contract. Please, everyone, drink up. For the next 3 months, please drink as much coffee as you possibly can. I'm trying to make Glenn some money. Rod Guignard, now I wanted to ask how he was doing. He says that earthquake yesterday almost made me ready to move to Miami. That along with the thought of meeting Mademoiselle Natasha. Okay, listen, let's go to North Carolina. Some of you may have heard about this story over the weekend. I'm not going to comment on it yet. I want you to check this out. This is coming out of Raleigh, North Carolina. You may have seen this on the national news. Listen closely.
Good evening. Thank you for joining us. Raleigh can't turn a blind eye to gangs anymore.
They're here and they're impacting your life. A brawl at an area mall illustrates the point. Hundreds involved, seven arrests. The mall forced to drop its gates. Reinforcing the numbers, one in five gang members in this state now lives in Wake County. Raleigh's police chief tackled the topic today, and Stacey Cameron is live with more on what the chief had to say. Stace?
The chief says Raleigh's gang problem, it's serious and it's significant, and that's what he said just a short while ago. And now that problem, gang issues, it's an issue that the city's going to have to face in a much more public fashion.
Very disciplined work.
Standing in front of a podium,
we take the incident very serious.
Raleigh Police Chief Harry Dolan is talking street gangs and the city's growing violence at the hands of gang members.
There is some information we're receiving that part of a gang initiation is to go out and rob someone.
Chief Dolan says as Raleigh grows in size, so do the city's gangs, admitting his department faces an uphill battle in fighting the problem.
The gang issue in Raleigh is significant. We've been fortunate to acquire a grant recently to provide us with some much-needed resources to address that issue.
In addition to expanding the city's gang task force, Chief Dolan says his department is reaching out to the public, asking parents, clergy, even teachers to work with police and develop programs aimed at keeping teenagers out of gangs and in school.
And the message that has to go out to all neighborhoods and all families is that if you know that a young person is carrying a gun and that there's a gun in that car, you have to report that. You absolutely have to. And if young people are sending the message that they want to or they're part of a gang, it has to be a message of it is unacceptable.
Chief Dolan also said that he's talking with the mall about beefing up its security. And while the Triangle Town Center won't comment on the matter, the chief says he favors curfews that would keep young people out of the mall on late nights and late night weekends, hoping maybe that can curb some of the gang problem. Back to you.
Stacey Cameron, thank you.
Anti-gang grants will help Wake and Durham counties increase their gang prevention efforts. The federal government will give $2.5 million over the next 3 years. That money will go toward keeping kids out of gangs and to cracking down on gang-related crime. The governor's crime commission also gave $1.4 million to Wake County this year and $1.2 million to Durham. Gang-related crimes now carry stiffer sentences here in North Carolina. Governor Easley signed legislation earlier this month that increases the punishment for crimes committed by gang members, and that law took effect immediately. Lawmakers set aside $10 million in the budget to pay for the anti-gang measure.
Okay, now look, this sounded, you know, like a serious story. Now, for those of you that don't know, at a mall in Raleigh, in the Raleigh-Durham area, there was a major fight started in the mall, went out into the parking lot. It's all over the national news. As soon as I heard it, I was suspicious that they would blame it on quote-unquote gang activity, okay? And I think the tail end of that story tells you why. The grant money, etc. And I'm going to get into this a little further. With police budgets strapped, and we'll talk about the states that are having deficits, not able to pay for social services, and government employees and agencies having to cut back soon, you're going to see crime fighting efforts look for a celebrity criminal, and that celebrity criminal is going to be the quote unquote gang member. I have folks on the ground in Raleigh. I was told that what happened at that mall was a young people type of thing. And if you look at the people who were arrested, they're all like 16, 15, 17, very young. So it's very sad. There's one sister who's charged. Now, from what I understand, it was a neighborhood-oriented problem, a youth-oriented situation, not a gang situation. Now, this police officer in Raleigh is saying that they saw gang signs being flashed when the police came up, etc. That's not what I'm hearing. Some of you may be out there, you may know. What I'm hearing is that it was a neighborhood and youth-oriented problem, not quote-unquote gangs. But I guess if you're getting $1.2 million in grant money to fight gangs, you have to now start interpreting every problem that you see with young people as gang-oriented. They do it out here in D.C. I'll give you a good example. D.C., anyone who's in this area knows that the Blood and Crip type situation is not really taking root as it has in other parts of the country. What you have out here in D.C. are neighborhood-oriented beefs, high school beefs. I mean, it's so bad out here in D.C., they have inter-neighborhood beefs. It's right now, I won't say where, but there's one, there's two blocks in the same neighborhood beefing right here in Northeast Washington, D.C. But if you looked at the local news, occasionally in D.C., it'll be called a gang problem. But you don't see red rags. You don't see Bloods and Crips out here like you do in Newark, New Jersey, or in Compton. But people are getting grant money to classify things a certain way. So that's why we're supporting this wonderful effort in North Carolina in Greensboro, being led by, I would say facilitated by, the beloved Community Center in Greensboro, North Carolina. I had a wonderful experience speaking with Sister Joyce, who works down there. For those of you that don't remember, this is what that effort is all about. Let me go back to a news story. This is the beautiful peace effort being led to bring the organizations and nations in North Carolina together as an example to the rest of the country. Let me introduce you to King Jay, King of the leader of the Almighty Latin Kings and Queens Nation, a beautiful brother who I've gotten to know. This is the news report on what he and others sparked off about a month ago.
For all Bloods, Crips, MS-13, Sutrese, everybody out there that represents something, so put your weapons down and let's come to a table so we could talk peace.
That was the request North Carolina Latin Kings leader Jorge Cornell made during a news conference Monday. He wants gang leaders to get together for a discussion on how to end violence.
What I'm asking these leaders to do is, if you got one that's going to start trouble with the other, don't let those two, you know, let it get physical. And if it does, don't let it cause a war. Let's bring it to the attention of those leaders and let those leaders deal with their own.
Cornell was joined by church leaders, Pastor Nelson Johnson and Gregory Heaton, who gave their full support to the cause.
And so I want to commend Brother Jorge and the Latino Nation and all of those who have responded in the hope that this is merely a beginning and that together we can do a new thing.
Cornell says that he's already getting a good response from other gang leaders and hopes that today's message will encourage even more to come together.
Well, I'm hoping, you know, that we get some more responses and the more people that are willing to come to the table, and some of these gangs and nations and associations still, you know, more, the bigger the better. That's where we go from here. The next step is to sit down.
And Heaton says they will open their doors so that next step can be taken.
I want them to know that there will be places where they can gather and meet. We believe that that's the way to go.
In Greensboro, Kira Mathis, News 14, Carolina.
So I would like to direct your attention to two websites, of course, blackelectorate.com, the flagship station for us. But I also want you to get acquainted with the beautiful community organization, Church Home, the beloved Community Center website. They have put out a statement on this beautiful effort. Okay, so if you want to visit the beloved Community Center website directly, it's www.belovedcommunitycenter.org, just how it sounds. I'll spell it out once. www.belovedcommunitycenter.org. www.belovedcommunitycenter.org. They have the official statement on quote unquote gangs, and they recap the recent meeting that took place. And I'm very pleased to say that more and more street organizations are coming to the table to support this effort, which we are supporting. The actual agreement between these organizations and nations is on the Beloved Community Center website. You can get to it through blackelectorate.com in our culture sports section. It's the second link. But I will tell you that leaders and individuals who are members or associates of the Almighty Latin King and Queen Nation, Almighty Blackstone, Black Peacestone Nation, pardon me, the Crips, Five Percenters, Piru Bloods, Nation of Islam, clergy, etc., are coming together. And there's more, which I will not disclose. So I had a great conversation with King Jay and Sister Joyce at the Beloved Community Center. I have asked anyone who wants to get involved with this, you can send me an email directly at cedric@blackcoffeechannel.com. I'm 100% in support of what they're doing. So those of you who saw the reports of what happened at the mall in Raleigh, Durham, North Carolina, reserve judgment until you hear from people on the ground. Because every crime now that you see, every disturbance that young people commit is now going to be called gang activity. I would be careful before you paint with that broad brush. All right. So let's get down to some other business at hand. www.blackownedbank.com. I've poured my heart out for 2 years, along with some others, to make this website a reality. I want to thank all the members of the blackelectorate.com business and building community who helped to establish this initiative, the Black Bank Initiative. Let me read something from our about page, blackownedbank.com. The Black Bank Initiative for Financial Literacy, Wealth Creation, and Community Development. Its mission is to develop disciplined, sustainable approaches to teach financial literacy, create wealth and community development in the Black diaspora through a variety of platforms. Despite progress and many success stories, by many standards, the Black community still suffers from both a lack of wealth creation and a basic understanding of how to create wealth. A poor understanding of these fundamentals often leads to the devolution of the surrounding community. The BBI, Black Bank Initiative, will slow this devolution, providing participants with access to information, strategies, and solutions. The idea for this was birthed at the inaugural BlackElectorate.com business and building event in October of 2006. The initiative had an initial goal of inspiring and persuading at least 500 persons to open a bank account, checking or savings, with a Black-owned commercial lending institution in the United States of America. In addition, it was agreed that an investment club of no more than 99 of these persons would be established and would establish an account at that same institution. We had a process, everyone. We looked at the over 30 Black-owned banks. We sent letters to 9 of them. That letter is available. You can read that at the About page. And One United Bank reigns supreme out of all those banks. Now, we are endorsing all Black-owned banks. But because of their responsiveness, because of their product offering, and because of the quality of their institution and the people we've worked with, Bob, Phil, Jim, and others, we formed a more closer relationship with that bank in order to actually put our money where our mouth was and actually endorse something. So we support all Black-owned banks. I want everyone in the sound of my voice to open up an account at any Black-owned lending institution wherever you are. However, if you would like to do something online and pool resources together on a nationally convenient level, One United Bank is the only game in town because they are the first Black-owned bank, Black-owned internet bank, and they are the only one as of the moment that would allow you to open up an account. Okay? But again, not only are we encouraging you to open up an account, checking or savings at a Black lending institution, we're also encouraging you to start an investment club or a rotating credit or savings association with your family, your fraternity, your sorority, your civic organization, your coworkers. So when we say bank, we're not just talking about a commercial lending institution governed by the FDIC. I want everyone to bank with one another. If you're in a street organization, bank with one another. Start an investment club. If you are a sisters, a women's organization, start an investment club. If you are in the Jamaican community, you already know what it is. West African community, Mexican, Chinese, Japanese, all have a history of what is known as a rotating credit association or savings association. We describe that in the investment bank section in the Black-owned bank website, okay? Let me read what I wrote a little taste last week on July 23rd to kind of set the tone for this at blackelectorate.com. This is still up. It will be up for a few more weeks. Here's what I wrote. So how many of us realize that when we deposit money in a bank, we are in effect making a loan to that institution? That's right. Some of us with only tens of dollars are loaning money in a sense to a billion-dollar corporation. As odd as it may seem, that is the case because no bank, however large or small, simply watches over your bank deposit like a security guard, making sure that no one touches your cash. In fact, it is quite the opposite. A bank takes your deposit and loans or invests it, earning money, hopefully for you and them, until you need to make a withdrawal. This fundamental understanding of what a bank actually does is essential to understanding what a bank actually is and why the relationship between Black America and banks must change if economic development and growth is to occur at a level of mass prosperity. Now let me detour from that to go to the bottom of the Black-owned bank homepage, where we have something called the message. It's at the very bottom of the page. I used a phrase called mass prosperity. Here's what I write in the message section of the Black Bank Initiative. I say there is no better lens than a review of the American housing and stock market over the last 10 years through which to view blackelectorate.com's business and building community Black Bank Initiative for wealth creation, financial literacy, and community development. There is no greater or worse story that gives the three-dimensional picture of why a well-coordinated political, cultural, and economic mass movement in these areas is needed in the area of wealth creation. Listen up carefully, please. I'm dead serious about this because some of us got caught up into an excessive form of materialism, but I want to explain how easy that was and give some facts to show you that it's eroding. The material wealth that we acquired in the last 10 years has actually evaporated. So I write, while many Black Americans participated in the stock market and became homeowners for the first time, 10 years after those gains began to materialize, they have almost entirely evaporated. Black home ownership, according to the U.S. Census Bureau, went from 44.8% in 1997 up to a peak of 49.1% in 2004 before settling at 47.2% in 2007. I have a prediction from a housing analyst that says we're going to go down to 42%. According to the Ariel Schwab survey, Black stock ownership spiked from 57% in 1998, the first year of the survey, up to 74% in 2002. But by 2007, it was back at 1998 levels, 57%. Now, Black unemployment as well. Let me move on into the area of community development. So the question I have placed before people for years at blackelectorate.com is, what did the accumulation of paper wealth, assets on paper, owning a home, what did it do for our communities? I saw a lot of very rich middle class, upper middle class people buy cars that they now can't sell on the used SUV market. And I saw very upscale professional Blacks increase their bank accounts. But I saw the neighborhood have nothing better than, I guess, better tended lawns. Thank God for landscapers, because that's pretty much all we got. So now that wealth created on paper has evaporated, we have nothing to show in the way of community development. Very little. And to be honest with you, community development in the Black community is dependent on government grant money, financing with commercial institutions that have public-private partnerships. Very few Black community development efforts are from the ground up or come from a pooling of Black dollars, which again is another hint as to the potential of a Black-owned institution if it were to receive a sufficient amount of capital in the form of deposits and investments, etc. We do have one Black-owned bank that's publicly traded. That's Carver up in Harlem. But let me read this. If one were to define community development in these basic terms, it is clear that the wealth created on paper through the stock market and housing market over the last 10 years has not led to a significant improvement in the quality of life of the masses of Black Americans, as evidenced by Black entrepreneurs, over 80% of which still have no more than a single employee, incarceration rates and crime statistics with alarming murder rates in Black communities, improved educational institutions with illiteracy graduation rates and standardized test scores painting a gloomy picture, and employment, with Black male and teenage unemployment figures staggering and the Black unemployment rate, which was 7.6% in December of 2000, now standing at 1997 levels, 9.7% as of May of 2008. So what do we have to show for the last 10 years? So what we're trying to do is show that a commitment to these three pillars, financial literacy, wealth creation, and community development in a holistic approach, not separate. I don't want, when I say financial literacy, I'm not just saying teach somebody how to invest in a 401k stock market. And when I say wealth creation, I'm not just saying teach a Black professional bougie buppy couple how to go from 6 digits to 7 digits. And when I say community development, I'm not saying how to find a way to get a grant money for a community development block grant so that the government and Wachovia Bank and Bank of America can build up in a vacant lot in an empowerment zone so that we can have non-Black owned businesses. Now, there's nothing wrong with all these approaches in moderation. But if you have an empowerment zone and you are bringing nothing but Magic Johnson theaters, Dunkin' Donuts, Starbucks, and Black-owned businesses are going under while the empowerment zone is bringing in multinational corporations, I don't consider that community development. And I'll give you an example. In Detroit, we have a story up at blackelectorate.com. Did you all know that we only have 2 Black-owned gas stations in Detroit now? But look at all the home ownership that happened in Detroit. Now Detroit is suffering probably the greatest collapse of any city in America in the housing market. Atlanta and Las Vegas would be close behind. But all that wealth, all those professional, intelligent, entrepreneurial folks in Detroit, we only have 2 Black-owned gas stations. So go to blackelectorate.com and you can read and weep over the story. It's from the Michigan Citizen. Yeah, the Michigan Citizen tells the story of Joe and Earl Brown, who had to close their Black-owned gas station after 36 years of business. We now only have 2 Black-owned gas stations in the entire city of Detroit. Send in your comments. You know, we've done all we can to get this up. We have media interest. People want to interview me, do articles, etc. But I judge success by how many people are forming investment clubs. And I'm not being disrespectful when I say this, but if you can have a convention, and they just had a big convention in Chicago, the Unity Convention, for the media, think Black, Latino, etc. Wouldn't it be nice if the Unity Convention pooled their resources together? Same with the Nation of Islam at Savior's Day. Same with the Urban League meeting right now in Orlando, Florida. And same with each and every one of you at your family reunion. I mean, do we only come together to drink and smoke and eat and dance? So we're not trying to start a new organization. I just want to help a group of us serve as a critical mass of of a catalyst or a conscience to those of us out here who already know better and are not doing better. And again, I'm challenging not just quote unquote boozy middle class professional blacks. I'm challenging the so-called revolutionary ideological rhetorical generals who talk and talk and talk and talk, who will criticize Barack Obama over and over for not being a black nationalist. But when you are offered an opportunity to actually apply all the book knowledge that you have from reading Amos Wilson, John Henry Clark, Claude Anderson, from following the example of the Mata Group and the late great Ken Bridges, from what is it, Mohammed Nasruddin in Los Angeles. When you are actually challenged to do something, you are still caught up in intellectual abstraction. So I'm trying to make it real easy. If you want to open up an account, we have listed all of the black-owned banks, the largest ones, I think, according to a Black Enterprise listing, right in your neighborhood. The listing is there. If you go to blackownedbank.com, there's a section at the top. I'm trying to find it now. Bank locations. There's a spreadsheet. Show you pretty much the top 25 black-owned banks, South Carolina. You can go to South Carolina Community Bank. The banks are all there. Phone numbers, addresses, everything you need to walk up in that branch and open up an account. If you want to do one on the internet, you can do it through our site and go directly to One United Bank's website. I mean, I'm very pleased with what we've been able to do, but now we're at the point of follow through, which is where a lot of us fall off. I'm going to do a show soon on why the lack of operational unity and follow through has to do with willpower, but there's some other factors too. Send your comments in if you have a black owned. One other point I wanted to make. Some people have concerns about the condition and safety of banks. Well, here's my question to you. Do you have a bank account open at any bank? So don't come to me concerned about the solvency of a black-owned bank when Wachovia Bank just had to go raise like $8 billion. Bank of America struggling, had to shut down and get rid of Countrywide, and you still have your money in Bank of America and Wachovia. So when you take your money out of them, then I'll hear your concern. And by the way, it's the FDIC and the SIPC, I believe, that's really going to insure your money. It's not that particular bank. But again, if you don't like a bank, start an investment club. I'm not telling everybody to put your money in a formal lending institution. If you do, we have the list available. We have a direct relationship with One United Bank. We've endorsed their eUnity savings account. You can do that. But man, if you just smoking blunts and pouring out a little liquor on Friday nights, put a five on it. Turn that thing into an investment club. No excuse for any of us. I saw the AKAs, the God bless the beautiful AKAs that were flirting with me for the last, I don't know how long they've been in D.C. I lowered my gaze and I looked up. But do the AKAs start an investment club or something when they get together like 20,000 deep? I know the black woman is always on point when it comes to money. Okay. I mean, this is a subject that I'm passionate about. I'm willing to die on. Same with the initiative to bring the street organizations together peacefully. And I'm just tired of rhetoric. I'm sure you hear it in my voice. I'm tired of, you know, getting something up and people fall off. You can't find certain people who were there at the first meeting. And I'm really tired with the just, you know, it's more important to be smarter on the subject of black economic empowerment than it is to actually try to do something. I had enough of that. So I played this R&B instrumental under my voice.
Ending whackness in the name of blackness. You are listening to the Cedric Muhammad and Black Coffee Show only at blackcoffeechannel.com.
Let me read your comments before we go into hour number two. Cameron, he's commenting on the dollar menu from what we said earlier. He says the real problem with McDonald's is they haven't created any new products that have stuck. They have tried cookies, fried chicken, soup, burritos, and all of them failed. The corporation forced the franchisees to sell these whack products and lose money while hurting the brand. More mismanagement won't help them. Natasha from Miami says, the Broward School Board has passed a comprehensive anti-bullying policy for the next school year. Isn't that part of the school experience, overcoming cruelty, bullying, etc.? Isn't this a subjective issue? It is hard enough to prove harassment in the workplace. I can't imagine anyone proving it in the schoolyard. For anyone in the Miami area that is serious about stepping up to lead the charge in their community, the Miami Fellows Initiative is taking applications for their leadership development program. All expenses for the fellows are paid by the organization. The program runs from, I can't read that, oh, September 1st to October 6th, it looks like. Okay, come on. Are you going to open up a black-owned bank account, checking or savings, or is it just rhetoric with us? Is it rhetoric with us? Do we like to just talk it? And I'm, like I said, I leave the bougie intellectual folk alone. I'm talking about the quote-unquote economic nationalists, the ones who wave the flag of Marcus Garvey, the great
ending whackness,
the great Marcus Garvey, who
ending whackness.
So it was a life, way of life for him. The Honorable Elijah Muhammad, the minister, Ken Bridges, Muhammad Nazaruddin. I mean, come on, man. I would love to be able to ask Senator Barack Obama, is 10% of that $300 million that you raised in a black-owned lending institution in Chicago? Speaking of which, let me read a quick article on the condition of the black-owned banks in Chicago. I sent this out on Show Prep. Thought it was very interesting. It's from the Chicago Defender. Some of you, I hope, read it. If not, spread it around. Says the city's banks are stable despite soft economy. Customers at banks across the country are nervous these days because of the July 14th federal takeover of IndyMac Bank in California. IndyMac is the second largest financial institution to fail and is now being managed by the Federal Deposit Insurance Corporation, FDIC. But the business at Chicago's four black-owned banks remains upbeat despite the IndyMac debacle, record foreclosures, and a dwindling job market. Quote, I disagree with anyone who says the banking industry is in a downturn, says Walter Grady, president and CEO of Seaway Bank and Trust Company. The banking industry is strong and the black banks are thriving here in Chicago and elsewhere. And even though a lot of banks are involved in subprime loans, Seaway does not do subprime loans. If we cannot get you qualified for a conventional loan, then we deny your loan request. Seaway, headquartered at 645 East 87th Street, is Chicago's largest black-owned bank with $300 million in assets. Grady added that Seaway currently has a $40 million mortgage portfolio and advises anyone renting to continue renting if they cannot get a conventional loan, such as one with a fixed interest rate. You know you cannot afford a $1,200 monthly mortgage if you're making $200 a week, Grady said. What has happened is that a lot of first-time black home buyers have been misled to think that they only can qualify for a subprime loan, and it says that is not always the case. I'm going to talk more about the condition of these black-owned banks in Chicago. This is a very interesting article. I'm pouring my heart out on this one. I think it's a wonderful opportunity for us to, in a professional, not in a money-flipping scheme, not in a fraudulent way, pool our resources collectively while this dollar still has value. I have a nice surprise for you all today. I've got some new hourly intros, so we're going to go into hour number two. We'll see how this works.